The Fed is meeting tomorrow, and who will be there? Lisa Cook will be there. She will be attending as a Fed governor. Of course, that's the person that the administration tried to fire in order to reshape the Fed. But she will be back tomorrow, as is someone that they just sworn in, Stephen Miron. I don't know much about him, Terry. But it really only boils down to what the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, says tomorrow. And will they be cutting the rate?
But Jerome Powell doesn't make it up. There's a group that votes, and that's what the intention is to for this administration to get more people on the board that favor the idea of cutting rates now. But in fact, we've had so much mixed economic news that I would say it's a for sure bet that the Fed will lower rates at least a quarter of a percent tomorrow. The question is, would it be 50 basis points, a half a percent? But the Fed chairman stands up there, takes the heat, explains the rationale, but he's got to get the voting members of the Fed Open Market Committee to agree with him. And they talk about conditions all over the country. This is supposedly an independent board that looks at whether rates are too high and whether things like unemployment are rising, and maybe they've got inflation under control, although that's not for sure. So that's the great debate.
And really, if they do drop it even a half a point tomorrow, regular consumers aren't really going to see a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. Watch this. Your credit card interest rate is not coming down. They've got you. You're hooked. So yeah, That's not coming down. Mortgage rates may come down a little. Longer term rates are set out there in the bond market. But we've had a few notes about inflation and the strength of factory usage today that lead us to believe this economy is pretty strong, and people who lend money for 10 years want to be protected against inflation. So we're out about 4%. Mortgage rates should drop a little, but this is not going to change your life. Whose life it will change, of course, is savers, because six-month T-bill rates are now well under 4% and will move lower when the Fed makes an announcement, especially if it's 50 basis points.
Okay, Joe's on the phone. He has a question for you. You ready?
I sure am.
Hey, Joe, what's your question for Terry Savage?
Hi, Terry. Thanks for sharing all your knowledge. I got two quick questions, if you could do it. The first one is, I was told that Social Security, you should retire earlier because it's to your benefit versus later because it's to their benefit.
Well, Joe, that's just dead wrong. So whoever you're listening to is giving you bad advice. If you go to terrysavage.com and click on search the columns on Social Security, you will find a column that explains fully why. The fact is, if you take it early before your full retirement age, which is now close to 67, your benefit is permanently reduced. And if you wait till 70, it increases every year that you wait 8%. So not only do you have a lower base pay for the rest of your life, but any future inflation cost of living increase will come on top of that lower check. So most people should certainly wait until their full retirement age. You're around 67 now. And if you can't afford to wait and you have other income, you want to wait till you're 70. It's the smart thing to do. I do not believe that it's going to run out or they're going to have across-the-board reductions. I would definitely not believe that. So the smart move is to wait.
Joe, thanks for calling and thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Terry, I've got a question from a teacher turning 59 and a half this year. What do I do about my 403B?
You keep contributing. You absolutely keep contributing. That's the age at which you can withdraw without penalty, but you want to let that money continue to grow on a tax-deferred basis. So hang in there. Keep contributing. Congratulations. Pretty soon you'll be 60, and before you know it, you'll be retiring, and you'll be glad you have more money in that account.
Terry, we have someone who said their friend has $100,000 that is currently in a money market. What would you suggest doing with it? They have no need for this money within the next 5 years.
Yeah, but the question is not how much need you might have for the money immediately. That's one reason to keep it liquid and short term. The question is, how painful would it be if you lost any of it? Because 5 years is a pretty short term period, even for the stock market. There's never been a losing 20-year period with dividends reinvested, but 5 years has produced lots of nasty surprises, bear markets that last 2 or 3 years. So the real question is, how do you feel about losing it? If you can't afford to lose a penny, that's what lets you sleep at night. It sticks in the money market. And I just wrote a column saying, boy, as rates go down, chicken money investors, those that have their money in the bank, are going to see their interest drop. But the discipline is really when rates drop, can you stick with it? Remember, this was money you did not want to lose. Now, if you've got a longer term horizon than 5 years, then, you know, you have, depends on your own situation. Some stock market mutual funds might be just the thing.
We have a 21-year-old listening who's already looking out 30 years. I know you're not going to answer this.
Oh, I have a crystal ball.
They said, what fund in a Roth should I invest in?
I would just buy the Standard & Poor 500 stock index fund. Yeah, it's technically outweighted and it's outperformed in recent years. But over the long run, the average return on the large cap index in the last 30, 40 years, that's meant the S&P, with dividends reinvested, it's been a little over 10%. So you don't have to beat the market if you can do that. I would just keep contributing to your Roth and putting it in the S&P 500. Even, I want to add this, there will be a bear market again. I have no idea when, but for sure in the next 30 years, there'll be, I'll bet you, even two bear markets. You have to keep saying, okay, that $500 or $800 a month is going in, even if the headlines are screaming bear market collapse, horror, because when the market's down, your $500 or whatever it is buys more shares of the fund. And when it goes back up again, which it always has, we're at all-time highs, then you'll have more shares and you'll have more money.
Someone's asking what you think about investing in bridge loans.
Okay. I just read one of the latest columns on my page, The Challenge for Chicken Money Investors. If it's so risky that someone isn't going to make a loan at a bank, why do you think they're offering you a chance to get in on this great deal? You're not earning enough interest on these crazy things that come up, but people are tempted because, oh, my CD rate is renewing below 4%. I can get what on this kind of a deal, or this structured note, or this real estate that. Remember, that's not the chicken money investor says, I'm not so concerned about the return on my money as I am about the return of my money. And I wrote this column a couple of weeks ago, The Chicken Money Challenge. This is the environment that draws people out offering you deals. Oh, don't sell for 3.5% on your CD. I can get you 5.6%. Da 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 da. There's always a catch. Always. And you don't want to be caught. Yeah.
We have a widow who said she has 70 to 90 paper EE U.S. saving bonds. She's listed as the owner. Her husband is co-owner. He passed away. And she wants to know what your thoughts are on what to do with them. She said, it's a lot of work to log onto the government form since I can't find a bank to cash them in. Can I add them to my living will so my beneficiary would get the money?
Well, you can't really do that. What I would like her to do is post on my Ask Terry blog. And I won't print this, but give her phone number. I happen to have a really great connection at the Treasury who helps people deal. It used to be that you could walk into the bank with your paper savings bonds and cash them in. Banks won't do that anymore. So let me put her in touch with them and they can cash them in. If somebody has to pay the taxes on them, now if they haven't matured, if they're still earning interest, you probably want to hang on to them. But if they've stopped paying interest, it's time to cash them in and pay the taxes.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be listening to you on John's Wintrust Business at lunch tomorrow.
For a full hour. Thanks, Lisa.
TerrySavage.com is where you can find her.